Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
My guest this morning, Rob Hirsov, is a businessman, an investor, and an outspoken commentator. He's long warned about corruption, that it's not only killing our economy, but eroding, in fact, our national soul. The question we're asking this morning, is there still a road back? And if so, what does it mean? And how difficult a journey is that? Rob, a very, very good morning. Thank you for joining us. Are you well?
Strong as an ox. It's an overcast day in Cape Town.
Beautiful.
It's lovely. I've got my little coat on, but this might be the last time I wear my coat. Well, summer's coming.
Yeah, for sure. And nothing like the Cape anyway in summer. Rob, when we talk about corruption, we often obviously think about money. Stolen contracts, inflated tenders, kickbacks, that whole, it's all about the numbers. But actually, it's more about moral corruption, isn't it? What do we mean when we talk about this moral corruption?
It just means a complete decay in society where people are getting away with, it's not murder, but it could well be, but they're getting away with destroying the basis of our democracy, destroying our economy in the process. And, you know, the average person in the street just has a look and says, these elites are stealing and stealing, and we're suffering as a result of service delivery. You know, sewage on the streets, no water, no electricity, no security, terrible education, and the elites are stealing and stealing and stealing. And it goes deep, but it is top down. I believe that, you know, in most African countries, a lot of the corruption is bottom up. It's some guy with a boom saying, you got to pay me to get through the boom. You know, you want your visa, you got to give me some money. You want to get through customs, you got to give me a little tip. But in South Africa, it's top down. And it starts with Cyril Ramaphosa. And the day he goes to jail is the day this rot ends. And he is guilty as sin. Cyril is guilty as sin. And so, it starts from there.
So those are strong allegations. In what sense is he guilty?
Of what? He was deputy president under Jacob Zuma. He's president now. And as Prince Mashele says, you know, he is client number one of the Secret Service and the Information Department. He knows way more than anyone else, and it's his job to know way more. So having been deputy president and president, he absolutely knows who's corrupt, who's been stealing, and who has what on whom. And they're all implicated. And that's what's happening in this Nhlanga Commission, is it's a faction fight to try and get back at the trough. And I think all of them are probably guilty. There are probably no heroes in this story, I'm sad to say. Mkhwanazi, to his credit, has stood up and been counted. But this goes all the way up to Cyril. Cyril knows exactly who's been stealing, what they've been stealing, and why. And he's guilty. He's guilty. He's an accomplice to corruption. No question about it.
The problem is when you have number one, as we know with Jacob Zuma, being part of this, either actively or passively, no matter what, the ability to claw back is significantly more challenging.
Look, the bottom line is the money's gone. I mean, how much are we really going to get back? Okay, it's gone. But what needs to happen is some senior people need to be put on trial and sent to jail, and as soon as possible. I'm not interested right now in the fourth guy down, the fifth guy down, the intermediary. I want Bheki Tshele in court, Cyril Ramaphosa in court, Tshunu in court. They know exactly what's been happening. And I'm damn sure, and I think most of the listeners are damn sure, are not only guilty themselves, but are certainly guilty of knowing what's going on and not reporting it or not stopping it. This dirt is top down and it goes deep. And, you know, you mentioned in your introduction, you know, every day there's some horrific scandal. You know, every day you read about a murder, a rape, or multiple murders, multiple rapes, farm attacks, corruption, tenderpreneurs stealing, no service delivery. And South Africans have PTSD. It's post-traumatic stress disorder. And a buddy of mine said to me a year or so ago, Rob, why are you doing this? Why are you standing up? You don't have to. You live in a beautiful home with a beautiful family in Cape Town. Just live like I do in the bubble, said this friend of mine. Live in the bubble and just don't read the newspapers and ignore what's going on. And unfortunately, most South Africans do that. They live in a bubble. They're too scared to actually say anything, which is fair enough. I can afford to say and do what other people can't afford to.
Which makes you responsible. It gives you a responsibility to do so in a way.
But a lot of corporate chieftains in the same position, and they say nothing, nothing. Cowards, colluders, you know, they're part of the comrade group. And it's disgusting. The church, the interfaith community, and the corporates have not been standing up and calling out the ANC for its corruption, incompetence, and destruction of our... They had a moral superiority for a long time, and they used it for their own gain, thinking nobody would push back. Well, the pushback's come, and it's coming internally, and it's coming externally. And I heard 1 hour ago from a buddy of mine, very high up in the American State Department, this is breaking news for you, that America are seriously, seriously pissed off with number one, Venezuela, and number two, South Africa. This is their priority pissed off list, and they're coming in hard.
Well, the fact that South Africa wasn't invited to, and I don't want to take this conversation to the whole Israel, Gaza, Palestine thing, but the fact that South Africa, after lauding itself as moral guardians of the world, the fact that they weren't invited to Egypt for this summit says everything we need to know about their relationship with the
U.S.
Absolutely. Well, they represent Hamas. Why would
Cyril needs to be here, admitting to his guilt and trying to fix the country for once, instead of lording around the world and trying to avoid the issues back home.
One of the things that you've mentioned, and I know that in this conversation, is you spoke about corporates not standing up. People aren't necessarily standing up for various reasons. During the Zuma period, there were really two elements that allowed South Africans to understand what was going on. One was, and that saved South Africa at that point, one was the Constitutional Court, and the second was an independent media. I know from personal experience, I was kicked off News 24 because I had a view that wasn't aligned with their view. Just over a year ago, I was told that I was not able to continue with my weekly column that I had been writing for 10 years or whatever it would be. We've certainly seen, and you've spoken about it, the horrific the plummeting of journalistic integrity and independence. So media, whereas in the last administration, played a critical role. What's your view on that today?
Media still playing a critical role. I mean, there's dinosaur media or legacy media, whatever you want to call it, and then there's media. And here's an interesting thing. News 24, by the way, it's a credit to you that you got kicked off. I would say that. I'd say it means you're doing the right thing. Because I've accused News 24 of being ANC bootlickers. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
They attack white people, and they don't attack black people. Bluntly, okay? They are super woke, and they are definitely in the pocket of the ANC. And I got an email from that general counsel saying, you know, and he copied Adrian Besson, Peter Dutoy, and all those kind of wanky lefty ANC bootlickers on the email. all the clowns of the News 24 were on one email. I was desperate to send them some snarky comment, but I didn't.
Right.
And they were saying, we are not bootlickers of the ANC. Look how we attack, Julius Malema. Look how we attack Paul Mashatile. And I said, okay, I get it. You're Cyril's ANC bootlicker. And there's no question when Koos Becker and team set up Naspers, Tonfosloa, you know, they thought we've got to work closely with this ANC government. And they still do. So well done on getting booted off News 24. But secondly, have you noticed how IOL is very quiet? They're not coming up with their normally biased leftist RET nonsense.
No.
They're being actually quite good journalists right now. And I think it's Iqbal Serb's running scared. I think he
senses interesting.
That needle swinging away from NC, away from MK, away from RET and those monsters. And I think he's seeing the future where he is going to be in court at some point to try and explain what the hell he's been doing with PIC's money, how that all happened. And he's being very cautious and very careful, and good for him. That's quite smart. You know, he's reading the tea leaves. News 24 isn't.
No.
And I would suspect that they're going to be losing a lot of money very quickly and people are going to stop subscribing. So alternate media has stepped into the frame, stepped up. There are tons of podcasters, tend to be center right, come out of the woodwork and are building very big,
strong brands.
Strong brands. And, you know, there's some superb black podcasters like Sizwe and Poffy Walsh.
Yes.
And others. Sizwe, I remember I was on his show when he was at something, I think 80 or 90,000 subs. He's at 300 and something thousand.
Incredible.
He's, you know, and I didn't want to be on his show because I heard the name Sizwe and Poffy Walsh. I went, oh my God, this is Dali and Poffy's son. This is the guy that started Roads Must Fall. You know, he had all the strikes against him. And I thought he was the enemy of the people. But the more I followed him and read about his stuff, the more I realized he's actually maturing. He's grown up. And he said to me when I spoke to him about the Roads Must Fall, he said, you know, I was in my youth then and I started his initiative and it got out of control. It was a race to the bottom. And I actually regret a lot of what I did and what I created there.
So interesting.
I thought, respect to him.
Wow,
respect
absolutely. Him. Because
so I'm a big fan of Sizwe, and right. It's not his fault. It's got Dali and Poffy as his dad. Since the fault. I think he's an impressive guy. So new media. New podcasters. Rinaldo Hoss, Sihle Big Daddy, the Sama Sabat, Kuhle, you know, Byron Shepherd. All these people are the new media. And, you know, I'm with Truth Report. We're almost at 100,000 subscribers. So can you get your people to subscribe to Truth Report on YouTube?
Shameless plug there, but go on. You can do that.
But Daily Maverick. Now, the reason it's a leader.
Gosh, Daily Maverick.
Podcast.
Yeah.
Daily Maverick has half the number of subs we have. We're not even 1 year old. So, you know, if you want to be a wanky lefty organization like Daily Maverick, that does do some good reporting, I have to say.
Right.
I love their rugby stuff. You know, new media is where it's at.
There's no doubt about that. Now, let's talk about, you've often said that we need a new moral compass. In practical terms, what does that look like?
South Africa is fundamentally conservative, Judeo-Christian, and capitalist. I mean, if you go to the townships, people are hustling. There are businesses being built. South Africans are naturally capitalist. And so the ANC's nonsense with being anti-West, anti-American, you know, allying with monsters like China, Russia, North Korea, etc., Hamas, you know, Iran, taking money from Iran, is disconnected from reality, and their voting numbers and polling numbers are showing it. The ANC is on its way out, and Prince Mashele is an extraordinary guy. You need to get him on your show. Prince Mashele, 2029, the ANC will be non-existent, irrelevant. I think they'll be below 20% in the national vote.
Incredible.
Still, you know, MK and ANC will be, let's say, 18-ish percent each. EFF will be less than 5%, and the DA will be in the high 20s and be forming the government. And Prince Mashele says they're on their way out. And I think why is because the ANC leadership of Madalas, they had no education. They had a sort of Soviet call each other comrade nonsense. They're actually stupid. They've never built, they've invested, they've never grown. They're just used to taking. They used their moral superiority, which they did have for quite a long time, to do and say whatever they wanted. It's all run out. The ANC is over. And I think we can return to the right moral compass for this country, which is a Judeo-Christian, pro-West, you know, capitalist.
Well, I mean, that's the point, really, is any of the surveys, anything that actually asks people what they are concerned about, it starts with the economy, and then it moves to crime. And that's really what it's about, because ultimately we all want the same thing, which is to live well, to educate our children as best we can, and to do so in security. ultimately, that is really what this is, you know, what it's about. And obviously have the freedom to do so in terms of speech, religion, association, and all of those things that come with a Western democracy. Is that at risk? Are we at risk in terms of those values, the values of the Constitution, of the Freedom Charter? Is that in danger?
So everything has been weakened. You know, obviously we know about state capture. We know most institutions have been compromised. Finance and Treasury have held up. Our media has held up because there's new media outlets mm-hmm. have proliferated. Our judiciary has been compromised. I mean, I don't think enough work's been done in this area, but I think, and this is a shooting from the hip, 60% of our high court judges and our provincial judges are ANC stooges or incompetent, kind of stupid. So if there's a court case that involves ANC ideology, I guarantee the decision will go in that direction because they get these judges get the call going, right, sleeper judge, you are going to make this court case go in this direction. But everything else is probably being handled, you know, relatively fairly, unless you get a really stupid judge, like there's been one in the Cape, this Judge Goliath, who's kind of completely incompetent. I doubt she's an ANC sleeper. I think she's just thick. And there are lots of those.
Tell us how you really feel.
So yeah. Can we return the moral compass? We can very quickly. We can. Because the country wants that moral compass, knows the moral compass, and it's just the ANC that's deluded into thinking that's not what people want and trying to impose their monstrous ideologies on us. But this can turn very quickly.
Rob, you've been very, very outspoken. I mean, there's obviously a lot of people who absolutely love what you're saying because you're saying it like they see it, and you've given words to their anxiety, to their fear, to whatever it is that they're thinking. But there's also many detractors. What price have you paid for taking this position that you've taken?
So the white liberals hate me.
Right.
Okay. Sort of general Daily Maverick reader, the guy that subscribes to Daily Maverick, not the reader.
Right, they right.
Sort of the nasty little backstabbing Zapiro type, you know, yeah. Hate me.
Right.
The, I call him a little wanky. Put me in a cage fight with him.
Okay, I'd pay to see that.
Mm-hmm. And then the sort of hardcore communist ANC hate me. 3 weeks ago, a SAPS officer from Maritzburg, Wartburg, wherever that is, it's in Maritzburg, goes on TikTok and he goes, "What happened to Charlie Kirk needs to happen to Rob Herself." On TikTok. Okay?
Right.
So I get a lot of death threats, a lot of nasty stuff. Corporate South Africa generally avoid my calls, duck me. I've got my friends who say, "Rob, we're happy to talk to you." These are CEOs, happy to talk to you as long as you don't use my name. Okay. But, you know, there are some of the big guys will not speak to me and are pretty pissed off because I'm telling it like it is. I'm saying, "You haven't said anything, Mr. Corporate CEO." They go, "A huge amount of work. We produce white papers. We have private meetings with Cyril." And then they get this complete ANC stooge, Martin Kingston, to represent the business community in South Africa. I mean, if there's ever been an ANC sleeper stooge, it's Martin Kingston. And he's representing corporate South Africa in dealing with the ANC. So that tells you everything. You know, corporate are being pulled by their noses. They're too scared to say a word. And they hate me for that, for calling them out, because
right,
they know it's true.
Yeah. Otherwise, they wouldn't. Otherwise, it would be so easy to ignore, because if someone isn't...
Look, there are, to be fair, Neil Froneman speaks out. You know, Saul Goldstein plays an important... You know, he's helping Franz Kronier. Michel Roux of Capitec, awesome. Sim Shabalala in his lane has been great. Gareth Ackerman now and again speaks out. Hendrik du Toit, you know, did speak out a few weeks ago and just called it out. But then he praised Cyril. I don't know why. He was on such a good wicket there.
He's doing
well. Cyril.
You
know, I mean, Cyril is the problem. Corporate South Africa, Cyril is the problem. Wake up. Stop kissing his ring. Ring on the finger. That's the ring on the finger.
Yes, yes. No, that we understood. I would be horrified about if it was anything else.
You never know with these guys.
Well, that is sadly quite true. Okay, so after everything you've seen, do you still believe that there is a road back? And if so, what gives you that hope?
Helen Zille running for mayor in Johannesburg is the biggest chess move in politics we can think of. And everybody needs to get the lazy 18, 19, and 20-year-old kids to register.
100%.
Get everyone to register, get behind her, and let's win Joburg back. Because if Helen and DA can get to 51%, not have to rely on silly little parties like Action SA and complete waste of time, and ZB, I mean, what a waste of time. Patricia DeLille, waste of time. Do not give your votes to those people. Just suck it in, get behind the DA, and let Helen get 51%. Because she will get focused on service delivery, fixing the basics, and prove to South Africa the DA won't bring back apartheid, won't take away your social grant, will focus on service delivery, and will deliver economic growth. And if that happens, the Nationals are going to go the way that Prince Mashele has been suggesting, that the DA will lead the next government. And you know, even though the ANC has broken and stolen a lot of our infrastructure, it can be fixed. The rail network's there. We have more rail network than the rest of Africa combined. A lot of it's not working, but it can be fixed. You know, electricity can be fixed. Sewage can be fixed. You bring in, take the cadres or cadres out, put in real people that know what they're doing, or train the people that are there. It's fixable. And there's a wall of money. I'm telling you, this I know. There's a wall of money internationally that wants to come into South Africa. And there are so many South Africans overseas that want to return, mainly young, talented, skilled with money, but also a lot of capital. You know, Natie Kirsch is not investing in South Africa at the moment. But if things...
Of course.
Start to turn, people will pile in. No, people will go, this thing's about to turn, let's get in quickly. And this country will go from below 1% economic growth to 3 to 5% for the next 10 years. We will rock. But we need, the shift's happening glacier. It's glacier slow.
And everybody has to be part of it.
I'm beginning, listen, 3 years ago, I was 2 out of 10. You know, I wasn't going to leave, but I was 2 out of 10. I said, it's finished.
Right.
My wife said, this country has no hope. We're beginning to see light at the end of the tunnel.
That's amazing. And because we are able to have, and we are having these conversations, there is the pressure, there is the prospect of a decent mayor in Johannesburg. Rob Herzog, thank you for everything you're doing, because it isn't an easy position to be in, but you are saying what many of us are thinking, many of us are feeling, and just keep fighting the good fight. Of course, we all need to join that fight as well.